Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Las Vegas Ho. It's the Crazy Sexy Cool Podcast. I'm Bethany. We have Meek to the left and Elizabeth to the right, holding it down as always. And I don't know about you, but I kind of have like this post versus glow going on right now. How y'all feeling?
I'm gonna let y'all hear how I'm feeling right now. This is where I'm at right now. Hey,
Yes.
Oh my God.
Let me mark and say this is like the verses, one of the only verses I actually say and watch the whole thing all the way through.
Like, wow.
I watched the whole thing. Now, I'm not going to lie that, like, I got so into because I'm such an Isley fan. And then this just, like, stamped that I'm a huge Isley fan because there was some deep cuts that I forgot about that I was like, oh, my God, yes, you know? And uh-huh. I know my Earth, Wind, Fire fans, y'all going to hate me, but it was sometimes I muted them because I just had to go back and replay the song from the eyes.
Not mute, bitch.
Yeah, oh yeah. Because I got, you know, the band, the music, the, you know, it's kind of, so I have to like go ahead and mute them real quick and just run that back.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm surprised Meek is loving the verses right now. This is new.
Man, listen.
It's usually Bethany, but now it's
I know. I know, but it's the Isleys. And can we just say,
Bethany,
I'm
just
honest.
Like, come on down, me.
No, because it's not verses as a whole. It's just the Isleys, okay?
For right, so, now it is.
Yeah, and...
But first of all, this one was the first one where it was a production. Like, they had different camera angles. You could see, like, the cameramen were, like, it was just stabilized. They were, like, they had so many different angles. They had, you know, DJ D Nice on, you know, in the back, Steve Harvey hosting. You know, they were sitting off to the side, but it was, like, it was just, like, a really dope setup. Like, you could tell they really gave a fuck about how this looked instead of just having, like, one camera set up at two artists doing their thing when I was a part of it.
I gave a fuck about how it looked. Can we give a shout out to Ronald Isley, seamstress, okay, for that needling coat?
First off,
his official name is Uncle Daddy, because I didn't know if I wanted to call him Uncle Isley or Daddy. Like, I didn't know, respectfully. Like, he just got that swag where I don't know. I know Ron probably had major BDE, like, you know, he still low-key got it, but like in his heyday, like, he probably had major BDE, like, on some real shit. So I'm gonna just call him Uncle Daddy. Like, I don't know.
Daddy.
I don't know what the hell, but he had on this gold, like, knee length, like, it's a trench. It's considered a trench, right? Like a trench coat.
I mean, I think so.
It's like a suit. It was a suit, so it's not like a trench coat. It was a suit, but the jacket was knee length and it was gold with like a black applique. And when I tell you he had the cane, had the hat, I'm like,
look, it's Easter Sunday, so you know they were gonna show up looking their Sunday best. Like,
listen, on his worst day, it's still better than most people's best day. Like,
go ahead, Uncle Daddy.
That's why I showed you the picture last week. Like, hold on, he gonna show up on some.
Oh,
on
I
some
already
smooth
know. I
pimp
already
shit.
You never ever see Ronald Isley look busted. Oh, you see what I did there? And they did play that song too. Yeah, you never seen
busted.
Him. You never seen him busted, like ever, like in what, 7 decades? They don't have now one photo without this dude looking like suave in a motherfucker, like ever. And then, okay, I know y'all gonna kill me because I don't know all their names, but on Earth, Wind, Fire, the band member with the flat iron, the infamous flat iron.
Played.
I feel like he has a traditional sew-in. I'm gonna be honest, and this is respectfully, like, I'm not even trying to be disrespectful right now. I feel like he got a sew-in,
but you know what, maybe. But I did see like some flat iron marks. You know how sometimes you kind of crimp it a little bit too?
Yeah.
I saw a little flat iron marks. Yeah. I don't know. But I wouldn't say a sew-in. I would say a quick weave. Like a little quick, you know, glue in. And
I'm going to have to go recap these videos to see what y'all talk about. Because this sounds very interesting. What?
And the only reason why I'm saying this, and this is when I'm going to get a little bit geeked out and weird, like, because of like their, I'm not saying that it's impossible for men of his age to have really thick hair, but the flat iron was a bit thick, you know, and they're up in age, and normally you lose your density, and I remember him, like, maybe some 10 years ago, it wasn't as thick, so it made me think, like, nah, like, you got some pieces up in there, like, maybe it's
you
some
clip-ins, some clip-ins, so little tape,
some micro links up in there, some
micro links.
Could be.
Steve Harvey too, that all blue, that honey.
He looked great. And, you know, I noticed, like, he was the perfect host for this, but you could tell that he was leaning a little bit more with the Earth, Wind, and Fire vibe.
You think so?
Yes. Yes. Because every time he was like, yeah, I was in high school when this came out, and I got this album, and I rode 3 miles on my bike so I could play this record in my dorm room with such and such. It's like, all right, like, you're not the only one with, like, personal stories that are tied to these songs and these moments. But I get it. It was good, though. But I could tell, like, after, you know, they took a break, the producers were probably like, hey, Steve, can we, like, tone it down a bit? Because you lit right now. At one point, I saw him come out and pour Ciroc on the carpet.
On the carpet. And that's when Rock, because Rock came out and was singing, I can't think of what song. I think it's For the Love of You. I think it was that song. But I'm sorry, Earth, Wind & Fire fans. I at least had y'all hands down. And I really tried to go in and not be biased, but maybe it's just that, like, what I was just, like, used to. I don't know. Like I at least,
you know what
a
I think it is.
Vibe. They are.
You know what
whole
I think it is.
Vibe.
I think Earth, Wind & Fire played their, like, some of their biggest hits too soon. And the Isley was kind of like pacing it, like, okay, I'm going to play this a little bit later. You know, I'm going to play, like, you know, Footsteps in the Dark, like, much later, because this is the songs that people show up for. They were playing a lot of deep cuts early on that maybe, you know, if you're not an Isley fan, you may not know it. But I feel like Earth, Wind & Fire came out like, boom, I'm going to play this. Boom, I'm going to play The Reasons. I'm going to play, you know, and they just, like, hit them too hard too soon. So the Isleys have more momentum, in my opinion.
I feel like the Isleys just probably just got more shit. I'm just saying. You know what? And also, I think it's just probably, like, what suits the stage. I'm pretty sure if we had more of, like, a grand, like, if they had an opportunity to do their whole show and, like, do their breakdowns, you know, like, what Earth, Wind & Fire is known to do, like, their whole breakdowns and everything, maybe it would have given it a little bit more. Because I feel like what you mentioned the last show is, like, it's more about the, like, instruments and stuff with them. Like, yes, but then, like, but then the Isleys create a mood. Like, I was in the comments, honey. I was like, throw some panties on the stage. Respectfully. Like, respectfully. Throw some panties on the stage.
Yes.
I'm lighting all my damn candles. Like, fuck the bullshit. Turn these lights off. Light all the damn candles. It's
so
a cool mood.
You're saying this is the first verses that you watched all of it. Did you not watch all of Erykah Badu and Jill Scott?
No. I was like, no.
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, don't be. Because I'm not.
That shit was fire.
I'm not.
No, that one I was absolutely on time for. It was incredible. But this one just had a different vibe. Like, you know, I was just telling, you know, one of my friends, like, when it comes to old school music, my mom she's young. So a lot of this music is something that is music that I discovered on my own. My mom wasn't playing this stuff around the house. She, you know, my mom grew up, she was a teenager in the 80s. So she's playing hip hop my whole life. So this is songs that I had to discover on my
Me
own.
Too.
Like, I'm listening to the old school radio stations, or, you know, I hear a sample and I'm like, ooh, you know, what's the origin
that.
Behind this? And then I discover stuff.
That.
Yeah, so, like,
can we talk about,
you know,
how they gave life, just those two groups alone gave life to so many classics and hits, like, from rap to R&B. There were so many samples. There was times where, like, you could think of two or three songs from one record.
From one song.
And I was like, yo, like, these, they, like, really, like, the grandfathers of, like, hip-hop, low-key. And then, like,
because I feel like James Brown is the most sampled person, you know, when it comes to hip-hop. But I would say Isley Brothers is probably a very close second. Like, if not, if they haven't taken over by now. I do want to, you know, acknowledge real quick, they did give a shout out to DMX,
Denise?
Who was in critical condition.
Oh. I thought you were going to say Denise Williams, because I was saying that was my shit too.
Nah, look, first of all, Denise Williams, God, like, her
that
sound,
If we could walk around with theme music, like, literally, like, you know, like, you walk around, like, you got music playing, like, Free would be theme song. Like, literally, walk out and then be like, my theme song.
That song is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. But yeah, it was just nice that, you know, they gave, you know, a shout out to DMX, who's in critical condition, and, you know, with Swiss Beatz and Timbaland, who are, you know, the leaders of this whole Versus movement, we just really hope that he's doing okay. I know Swiss is just somewhere praying that his friend pulls through. Are you guys gonna watch the next one that is escaping SWV. So did you guys, you gonna be on time for that?
No.
All right. You gonna catch the highlights
I'll just catch the highlights.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch just because. But like, I'm like you, Meek. Sometimes I have to put shit on mute. And but with this Isley Brothers one, like, I was cooking. I had my laptop in the kitchen. I'm cooking and I'm just like vibing out. I got my wine. I'm just having a good ass time.
What you over there cooking, B?
I baked some chicken and some asparagus and, you know, just some.
F the something, because any and every time she cook, we don't get an effing invite at all. So you can keep that.
Well,
I mean, y'all some busy ladies. I don't know what's going on. And first of all, y'all always talking about.
I don't want to hear nobody busy. No. I just saw y'all at the pool yesterday together.
Okay.
A whole little family day. So ain't nobody busy. You got time.
Y'all love talking about how far away I live, you know.
Yeah,
so,
but I travel for
if
food.
I watch over you.
She a traveler.
So if I cook and I tell you pull up, you're going to pull up.
Yeah.
It all depends on what you're cooking, because if you're making salmon cakes or whatever them things are, yeah, I ain't going to pull up for that. I'm not cool enough for that. You know
what's
that
the
now.
Salmon cakes? What's that?
It's like salmon out of a can and make salmon patties and like, you know, like, no. Yeah, I'm not eating no salmon out of a can.
That's gross.
She loves it. She makes it about like 3 times a week.
You eat salmon crackers?
I love salmon patties. They're so delicious, dog. Like, I grew up on that. Like, my great-grandmother used to cook them, and they're so good. Oh, she's probably the best.
Salmon patties. But they killed me when, like, I watched her mom make it. And the thing that had me was the salmon coming out the can. I'm done. Like, I just can't. Like, I mean, I can
make it other ways. So, I mean,
But you have to remember, my mother is from the South too. So when I see any type of meat coming out of a can, it just takes me back to Beanie Weenies or like, what is that shit called? Potty meat.
Potty meat. Ooh, I hate that.
Like, that's where I go.
College put me off of canned meat. Like, so my dad was working for, you know, Kraft and Nabisco when I was in college. So he used to send me like Ritz crackers. And my mom was like, yeah, I just, you know, got you a whole bunch of like sardines and like potted meat and Vienna sausages. I'm like, ew, nigga. Like, I'm not eating that shit. Got me fucked up.
That is a snack that my family eats. Like, I'm like, mom, what you over there snacking? Oh, ain't nothing but little saltines and some potted meat. Or Hawkhead cheese.
I hate that. She used to roll them up and eat those with crackers and cheese. That is so nasty.
To this very day, my mom still eats that. Like, I can just smell it, and I'm just
When I saw your mama take that salmon out that can, I was like, potty meat.
I have a recipe where I can make it with, you know, some salmon that I have cooked and prepared, and I can make the salmon cakes differently. So
I think I'm gonna be on with Meek on this one. I'm gonna pass on the canned fish. Something more original.
So do you guys eat tuna?
No.
Do you guys eat tuna out of the can?
No.
Hell no.
No. I will gag. Mm-hmm. I will gag.
Ew. Okay.
Oh, and okay. you boil the egg and cut the egg up in it.
Put mayonnaise in there. So gross.
And relish. You can relish in your sour spread.
Yo, this is anti-black. I don't like this. This is anti-black. I don't like this.
I'm feeling nauseous.
The way I grew up, we had to eat it. It was like, what else you gonna eat?
I remember my auntie did that to me one day, and that was the last time she did it, because I like all everywhere just everywhere. And, that was the last time she did that shit to me.
I remember when my mom made some food, and it was, what is those called? Not meatloaf. It was like...
Oh, manwich?
Yeah, manwich, right? Manwich. I was like, I'm not eating that.
What, Sloppy Girl, Joe's?
Sloppy Joe's. I hated Sloppy Joe's.
And they sweet. She made
those. I was like, I'm not eating that. Girl, she took that Sloppy Joe and smashed it in my face. I was like,
oh my God. My nigga, that is abuse. We laughing,
you see
but,
what I went through? Oh, I can laugh now. But I didn't laugh when it happened. I was devastated.
Yeah, we eating Sloppy Joe's in 2021, dog. Nah. And if you are, like,
you can't do that because you over there still eating like canned tuna and freaking canned salmon. Like, you can leave, like, go get some damn manwich and make some damn Sloppy Joe's. The hell?
You guys just eat Hamburger Helper?
Yes, yeah. And I don't eat that. That shit, that shit have you had. You gonna get your hypertension, keep fucking around with that shit. Leave it alone.
Yo, I haven't had Hamburger Helper in decades. And
why does the sauce look a bit grayish? Have you ever noticed that? Like, when you're done, it has like a gray tint to it. What is that all about?
That ain't right.
I don't know. No seasoning, no herbs that look gray. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know.
Well, let's ask that little oven mitt that be promoting the shit, like little mascot. Why your shit gray, dog?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna move on to a quick topic where I really need you guys' opinion on this because someone sent it to me in my DM and I really couldn't come up with like an opinion on this. So I'm just gonna play the girl from Bad Girls Club, and she had a little moment on Basketball Wives. Her name is Megan. She said, I know y'all about to drag me, but I'm just being realistic. I'm off IG for the rest of the day. I don't care. So I'm going to play this clip, and I'm going to see what you guys think.
Cheating respectfully. I never tell my man, like, oh, you can go cheat on me. So cheating respectfully to me is cheating where I don't find out, is having control over your other women, is using condoms and not having babies. Like, cheat respectfully, because believe it or not, your man is cheating. But I'm not leaving my man over a one-night stand with a period. I will only leave my man for three things. You bring me home an STD, you have a baby on me, or if you're gay. Everything else is workoutable for me. Yeah. Like, I believe in cheating.
Okay, so what do you guys think? Do you think there's a such thing as cheating respectfully?
You're not cheating on me at all.
So real quick. Is cheating an absolute deal breaker?
Okay.
It's a deal breaker for you.
Yes. I don't know why you'd be in a relationship with me if you want to cheat anyways, because I have a lot of, you know, special things that come with me, you know, that I allow that goes down. So if you cheat while we're in a relationship.
Wait a minute. Hold on. We're not just
going to
play.
We're going to just run through that. You know what I'm saying?
Why are we running through it? No. So you're saying, like, because you allow certain things, you know, a few extracurriculars with your guy, that he shouldn't have a need to want to step out.
Correct. So okay. If you're cheating with me, I'm done. That's just how I'm looking at it. But also, it also depends on, like, the length of the relationship, like how long it's been, and you know, nobody wants to start all over. So I say if I'm with this guy for like 7 years and he cheats and we have a discussion or whatever, I might not leave right away, but if it do it again, yeah. But
so I mean, if he cheated respectfully,
no,
you can work it out.
She just said if he bring her back an SD or bring back a baby. I just don't know. It would just have to be the relationship between me and the guy, I feel like, if I even want the relationship. Or I probably was waiting for him to cheat anyways to, you know, just be out of there. But I don't want to say yes to respectfully, because I'm just not allowing any dude to cheat on me in the first place. So you just never know. You usually don't get second chances with me. Any of my exes never got a second chance with me, so once they cheated, I was out of there. So you can definitely say it was a deal breaker before, but if I'm in a long relationship now, who knows?
So I have a question. Let's say you've been with a guy for 7 years, right? And then he like is just heavy on his mind. He's like, you know what? I just want to let you know because it's on my conscience. Like I cheated on you like 3 years ago, but that's done. And I haven't done it since. Like, is that a deal breaker? Would you leave because of something that happened 3 years ago, but you didn't find out?
Yes.
Because with him being honest, where we are 3 years prior from that,
like that happened 3 years ago, that could have been the beginning of the relationship. He did it, and then I find out. I mean, if I find out before you tell me, that's a wrap.
Okay.
If you come to me and tell me, and then it's like, you know, whatever, whatever, then cheating, I might take you back. But if I find out and you didn't tell me, then it's a wrap. Because like I said, there's benefits that come with me that I don't feel like you should have to, the need to cheat. So, yeah, that's for me. What about you, Meek?
So, E, you want to be your man's everything, huh? That's what we're saying?
I would want it to go both ways.
You want to be his Walmart where like, look, you don't need to go to no other store. I offer clothes, food. No, you can go get some mechanic stuff if you need it. I got toys. I got furniture. I got, you know, the essentials, pots, pans. Where the fuck you need to go? Got medicine. Got a whole pharmacy up in this bitch. Like, you want to be a man's Wally World.
Nah, I don't even shop there, but whatever.
Nah, I don't shop there either, but I'm just saying the metaphor of, like, they offer every single thing you could think of, like, you know, useless.
I don't offer everything, because I'm not down for everything. Everything don't always come with me. There's limits, but far as for cheating-wise, I feel like there's no need to. But everybody don't get that side of me either, so.
No, right, but we just talking about your man. We ain't talking about no regular, like, we talking about your man, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, but I would say, I think cheating is way more complicated than what people think it is. And I do know that, like, you know, it's I think I kind of, like, side with her a little bit, what she was saying, like, let's not act like it's not going to happen. You know, like this whole, like, practice and mind frame of like, oh, it's, you know, like my man don't cheat or like monogamy is the thing. Like, let's like, what is the true ratio of people practicing true monogamy? Like, let's talk about that, you know? And I feel her on that. So, and then also when you're dating men of a certain status, let's be honest about that too.
That's real.
Yeah, like, let's be honest about that too. So if your man is of a certain profession making, if he's if he exceeds that 40-30 percentile where they're making bomb ass money or have some type of notoriety or fame, yeah, the likelihood of them stepping out goes up even more than, not saying that like bum niggas don't cheat, because bum niggas cheat too, but like the likelihood of them doing it goes up. So I think it all depends on the situation. You know,
so what do you consider cheating? Because everybody has a different definition. Because some people be like, oh, he's flirting and he's in the DMs and he's, you know, having like an emotional relationship. Maybe if it has turned sexual.
That's people trying to prevent something that, you know, prevent like if that's prevention. To me, cheating is like you emotionally are physically investing yourself into somebody else. So like on an intimate level. So if you fucking somebody else, if you sexting somebody else, if you are even if you are like going to a whole nother woman for emotional support, you know what I mean? Like, because that can unravel into something, you know, like intimate, like you guys can sit here and fuck each other, but y'all like had an intimate space that can interfere with what you and I got going on. You know what I'm saying? So, and also to me, cheating, it's not the act, actually. Let me go ahead and reframe it, any of all that I just said. It's not even the act. It's the point of you lying and deceiving. So if I know that you fucking and we have an understanding that you fucking, it's not cheating. You get what I'm saying? If I know you have like a homegirl girlfriend that you talk to and y'all got that relationship, you're not cheating on me because I know about this relationship that you like maybe view her as a sister, blah, 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 blah. I know about it. You're open about it. I know about it. It's not cheating. It's the lying, deceit, and the manipulation that I think that constitutes something that's cheating. So the fact that you over here got to flip your phone you know, on his, you know, on the screen down, and you got to hide things from me. Now you're cheating. Now if you over here trying to like move things around because you worried about how I'm going to react, you probably shouldn't be doing it in the first place. That's just mm-hmm. how I feel about that, you know? I do think that it's like case to case and situation to situation. If me and a guy enter the realm where we're trying to build a committed relationship, shit, give me a fucking fair chance. Like, no, you step in. I'm gonna be honest. I'd probably be way more pissed that you stepped out on me in the beginning than like you stepping out on me like 7 years down the line. You get what I'm saying? It's like you got those people that's just out here just cheating straight out the gate, and it's like you're not really giving this situation a fair chance. You
like, know what ready, I mean? Like, set, cheat.
Cheat, cheat, cheat. Like, and so how did you really truly get to know me if you're like investing and spreading yourself thin with all these other different lovers and companions? So yeah, I'ma feel, I'm like, you didn't even really like give us a chance, a fair chance. Now, if we 7 years down the line or something, or shit, 5 years down the line, or let's just say 2 babies later, you know, cause we all know what babies can do to a woman, like, and you step out, that's something I can actually forgive. Because, like, those are actual situations. Like, those are actual situations that can cause, like, attention or, you know what I mean? I could probably actually forgive something like that. Or, like, maybe we had a disagreement. Maybe we are not as attracted to each other. Like, yeah, I fuck with you. Like, I love you. But maybe we just don't see each other and turn each other on like we used to. We can work that out, you know? So, to me, cheating is not like a one cheating, you're gone. Like, no. And also, like, that girl Megan left something out. She said, don't bring back a baby. Don't bring back no disease. And if you're gay, also don't fuck up my money. If your ass fuck up my money, and I mean, like, stealing or, like, just recklessly invest, yeah, I'm out. Like, I'm out. I'm leaving. Like, I'm not playing with no shit like that. So,
you can't fuck up. So, respectfully, cheating is no for you.
Is there a such thing as respectfully cheating for you? It's a long.
The fact that I got to think so long, I'm gonna say yes, but I think it's circumstantial. It all depends on what my situation is, what his situation is. You know what I mean? What our understanding is, because I'm with her. Like, especially dealing with men of certain stature, like, it's a good like the whole Quavo and Tweety thing. Like, I'm not surprised to hear that he's cheating on her. You know, like, is that a bad thing or a good thing? I really don't fucking know. But, like, I'm just in, you know, could I be stereotyping? Absolutely. But I'm not fucking surprised to hear that he was fucking around on her. Now, I do think that it's disrespectful when you out here just being reckless and you don't let these bitches know where the fuck they place is, you know? Like, you know, like, so I do agree with her on that, where it's like, you know, if I'm your woman, like, you need to prioritize me as such. You just can't be out here just swinging your dick loosely, bringing home kids, diseases, and bitches calling my phone or sliding into my DM on some bullshit.
So I have a question. I think it's safe to say we've all been cheated on, right? Mm-hmm. Have you been cheated on, Meek?
No.
You haven't been cheated on. Okay. So, Elizabeth, this question is for you. When you found out that your guy was cheating on you, was it him coming to you and telling him that he did it? Did you find out on some Inspector Gadget type shit, or did a woman come to you like, you know, I'm fucking with your guy?
I found out on some Inspector Gadget shit. And not only that, I also seen, like, you know, how he was acting. And
his behavior changed.
His behavior, exactly. How he was acting around me and stuff, it started to act different. That's what made me do my investigation.
Made you look into it. Well, yeah. For me, I feel like it happened. It happened both ways. Like, well, I guess all three. He admitted to it one time, but it was after I had to ask. And then he said, yeah, okay, yeah, I did. But I've been, you know, let me come to you as a woman. You know, just let you know, you probably don't know this, but, you know, me and him have been messing around. Like, okay, I've had that happen. And I've also been on some Inspector Gadget type shit where I was like, oh, so this is what's going on.
So when you did your Inspector Gadget, what did you do? Like, how did you, after you did your investigation, how did you approach him with, like, hey, I know?
I was, because I was, you know, young and on my crazy shit then, where I was like, I cussed him out. Because the conversation that I had before was like, yo, I understand that I'm not going to be your everything. You're not going to get everything from me. So if you want to sleep with another woman, go about it this way. Don't have me out here looking stupid.
Respectfully cheating.
Respectfully cheating. So use condoms. Don't bring no STD or no babies. And literally, a guy literally made a baby on me. So that was just like, okay. And that once the baby was made, then he like admitted like, okay, yeah, I cheated. But it's like, well, damn niggas, you shit's too late now.
I was just gonna just to add to that too. It's just like also like men just going out and just cheating and not addressing situations within their relationship. So I have someone who's in a relationship and their partner is very vocal when they are not happy. You know, like, okay, hey, I need this. I need more attention. I need da-da-da-da. To the point that if he was to step out and cheat, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I could really be mad at him because he's so vocal and so, you know what I mean? Like, and it's not even on some, like, not even, he doesn't do it, like, in, like, a mean way. But he's, like, when he, and they've been together for some time now, so it's been, like, over a period of time. But anytime, like, whether it was sex, whether it was, like, you know, what I would love it if you cooked more. Like, this is just what I would like. And then, like, they talked about it. They compromised. And now they found a happy median. That, to me, is healthy. So, like, if your man is doing that and he's coming to you and he's voicing, like, you know, what he needs. And vice versa. Like, you know, women, too. And you ignoring that, like, you know, you're not trying to, you know,
I feel like a lot of guys cheat because they just want some new pussy.
No,
and that's really just mm-hmm. it's really just
saying.
That
no, but that's what I'm saying. It's just like men just going out and just doing shit, and it's just like, and then you do shit reckless, like it's disgusting. I'm gonna be straight up disgusted like you out yeah. here, you being fucking right. reckless. I'm gonna be disgusted, like you fucking smut, you know. like for real,
disgust me. Yeah. Yeah. So do you guys believe that once you're a cheater, you're always a cheater? I don't believe so. I believe in cheating reform.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
I'm a reform cheater. I was just about to ask,
okay, but your cheat was revenge cheating though, right?
Yeah. Mine's is off the emotion. I reacted.
Like, was it like because of like the situation you was in? So then you were like, right. You know what? Fuck this. I'm gonna go do me. Was it that?
Mine
because
was.
I do want to know. Have y'all ever been in a situation where you like where things are going good with your man, but you just find yourself attracted to something else?
No.
Because I have.
Okay, so
that's because you speak nigga.
I cheated before when I wasn't being pleased sexually. And it wasn't that he didn't know that I wasn't happy with what was going on in the bedroom. He knew. But I decided to step out because an opportunity presented itself. And I was like, the sex over here is going to be incredible. And it was. And so I had a sexual, you know, relationship with somebody else. So
yeah. But and I think that's also another reason why, I kind of, my opinion when it comes to certain ways of cheating where I'm like, I'm not too sure. It's because like, I've rocked with somebody and then like, you know, came across something else and like the chemistry was just dope as fuck. And it wasn't on like, it wasn't intentional. It was just like,
It wasn't premeditated.
It was just like you meet, but I didn't indulge in it. But I'm just saying, it's like, it's kind of unfair that I got to cut myself off from that. Just for a simple fact of caressing someone's ego and their self-esteem. Like, I got to cut myself off from, like, exploring dope-ass chemistry with people just so you could feel good about yourself. Like, I feel like that's kind of, like, cheating myself. Like,
so I have a question. Did you cheat respectfully?
No, I've never cheated. Oh, I've never okay. cheated. And anytime it got that bad, I just left.
Okay. Elizabeth, did you ever cheat respectfully?
Yeah, I didn't bring home no babies, no STDs.
And I reacted off, you know, him. So once he cheated, then it wasn't planned or anything. It was like somebody else, you know, filled that area that he was lagging in, and then I had sex with somebody else, and that's what happened.
Okay, so both of you guys have basically admitted that, like, y'all man was lacking in a certain area or different areas, and then y'all went out and got it, found it somewhere else. So, given that, if that is your man's case, you telling me you can't forgive him?
Oh, I forget. No. Cheating isn't a hard no for me. That's not a deal breaker for me. So I guess you could say that I kind of agree with what Megan is saying. Like, there's a way to go about it. Because it's not like, oh, he cheated, so I can't be with him anymore. No.
So if your man felt like he was lacking in something, because you say you ain't going to give him everything. You say you ain't no Wally World. You say you more like a Tarjay. And he felt like he was lacking in something, and he found it somewhere else.
But I feel like the sex was lagging because, like, I was no longer interested in him anymore. Because after he cheated, it just literally turned the chemistry off for me. Not to say, like, you know, his dick was small or anything. Just every time I've seen him, I've seen the other girl or him in the, you know, situation with her. Mm. So it turned me off. I couldn't get turned back on. So when I was, you know, juiced up and I was talking to somebody else and that person was being, you know, like pretty much all into me, I gave in and had, you know, slept with somebody else. But it wasn't that. He was just like, the sex is whack. It was just, I was no longer interested anymore because of him cheating. So that brought me to cheating to somebody else.
Okay. I'm saying, see, cheating is complicated, y'all.
It really is complicated.
It's complicated.
There's no, but I don't believe that once a cheater, always a cheater. I feel like, you know, there is some sort of reform. Like,
do y'all feel like y'all gonna meet a guy that's just not gonna, like, you gonna meet that man, like, that's your man that's just not gonna cheat? You believe any man you gonna meet in the future, he's gonna eventually cheat one time? That's what y'all saying.
I don't believe that, but I also don't believe in what you're saying either, this whole reform cheater. I think it's just a different way. I think it's creating different ways of going about, like, bumps in the road within the relationship. I think a lot of times it's avoidance of communication, of, like, really sharing your wants, your desires, and not really giving, allowing that space and that environment for you guys to share that. I would love to have that with my partner, where it's like, yo, I'm into this. This is what I want to get into. Sometimes I just want to fuck something different. Like, I want to honestly have those type of honest conversations. I really
do. So you want Will and Jada type of relationship?
Facts. That is what I want. No, facts. That is exactly what I want. And I want him to, because I'm going to be honest, I have trust issues. So, mm-hmm. Like you going around manipulating and just like you said, E, when you said, like, once it came out, it made you not attracted to him. And once I feel like I can't trust you, when I feel like you're gonna try to manipulate the situation, you start lying and all this, like, it's
I'm
gonna
thinking be about hard. Other things you didn't already manipulate.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard for me to go back to what we were. So I just rather you come and be honest with me and be like, look, it's nothing wrong with you. You sexy as fuck. I love everything that we do, but I just got this urge to go fuck something else. Like, I personally will respect that than a quote unquote reform cheater, like, trying to hold back a urge. Not all reform cheaters are that, but, this whole, like, trying to hold back a urge or this want, and who knows, sometimes you might have, like, nut clarity, or, like, sometimes when you start speaking about things, you realize, like,
look, maybe that post-nut clarity is wild, bro.
Is, right, so it's, like, maybe it's not, you know what I mean, that deep, and it's just, all it is a fucking conversation. But people can't do that because of their pride, their ego, and their self-esteem, insecurities, all that shit. Because then you start blaming yourself, like, what is it about me, right? Yeah, and it ain't got shit to do with you. Ain't got nothing to do with you.
And that's another thing I wanted to bring up. I feel like a lot of people internalize, like, when their partner cheats, they just take it so personally that they think it's all about something that they didn't do right. So they can never move on properly in the relationship. It's like, no, he really just wanted to fuck something else, and it has nothing to do with you.
In many ways, that's egotistic as fuck. to think that you are that person's world, like to think that like everything, every move has to do with something with you, and to think that like just because
it's very common.
No, it is very common, but this is what I'm saying. Shit like this is not talked about, and to think that that just because he's with you, that his attraction to other beings just turned off. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that he will do it and he will try to respect you, you know, especially if you get a good man or whatever. But it doesn't mean that, like, it's just like, oh, no, I'm not attracted to nothing else. Like, science says otherwise.
I had a moment like that where I was cheated on. I thought, like, it must be something that I'm doing wrong. It took a long time for me to come to the conclusion, like, I could have been perfect. He was going to do that anyway. And I remember telling him that. I was like, you were going to do that regardless. I could have been the most perfect woman to you. You were going to do that because that's something that you wanted to do. And when I told him that, he looked at me, he was like, what you mean? Because it was almost like a narcissistic type of manipulative thing for him to make it seem like it's my fault so he could continue to do that. And so I feel like a lot of women just like, internalize that, like, oh my God, you know, well, he cheated on this girl because she looks this way or she does this differently than what I do. And a lot of guys would love for women to continue to think that it's something that she's lacking in so they can continue to continue on with this bad behavior.
Right.
And not also, communicate, like, you know what, I was gonna do that shit anyway, but I just didn't want to ask you or try to get your permission or see if you were okay with that first, because there are some guys who like to do it because they can just get away with it, like it's a thrill.
No, but also to also piggyback on that, you also got guys that are not living in their truth. You got some people that want to conform to like a certain look or image, so like their wife is like the preacher's wife or the deacon or whatever, you know what I'm saying, like the button to the top with the pearls and shit, but yet they want shit. But they want a nasty, sloppy, slutty, you know what I'm saying? And that's what they love. Like, and that is what they love, but they can't wife that. I can't wife it. So it's gonna always be this, like,
their boys might look at it a certain way, like, oh, you know she a hoe, right? But you love that hoe. It's okay.
Wife that hoe.
And here you are unhappy with the pure girl, like you took her virginity in college and you just feel like you have to be with her because of whatever reason, it's a good look, but you really in love with the girl who does everything that you fucking like. Like, she does that nasty shit you like. She may not cook and clean, but you might not give a fuck about that shit. Right. But, you know, your wife at home does it, but you're not happy. A lot of people, like you said, Meek, are not living in their truth.
They can go on about this cheating shit.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's wild. Like, it's so many layers to the cheating. I mean, because some people feel like, oh, you know, I didn't receive love, you know, in my childhood. So they go out and they want to find it in... It's so many layers to it. We can't even get into all that. I do want to, let's give a quick congratulations to Jeezy and Jeannie Mai, who got married over the weekend. They had like a pretty intimate wedding with their friends and family. Really small wedding. For them being like public figures, you know, they had a pretty small wedding.
Shout out to Mama Mai, who showed the fuck up and showed out, honey. I don't know who her stylist is, but that whole contraption on her head, yeah, that was something to look at. Like, for sure.
You know what's funny to me? Her name is Jeannie Mai Jenkins. She's Miss Jenkins. That is the blackest name. That's one of the blackest last names that I can think of. Jenkins. Jeannie Mai Jenkins. Why you make that face, Meek?
Who's her daddy?
What's her daddy?
No, that's her name now that she's married, because Jay.
Okay. I thought that was like her maiden name. I'm like, who her daddy is?
No, I honestly don't know her maiden name. But she was married before. But now her name is Jeannie Mai Jenkins, and that shit is black as fuck to me. Speaking as black as fuck, this account called Black Bride 1998 shared a post, you know, congratulating the couple on their nuptials. And a lot of people on Twitter were confused. Like, why are you guys sharing Jeannie Mai, who is not a black bride?
Go ahead and give us an update, because I didn't see that.
I didn't see it until, you know, people just made like an uproar about it on Twitter. I'm just like, it's whatever. Like, these pages can share what the fuck they want, but I can see how that would be disrespectful, because there are a lot of Black women who feel like, you know, a lot of our, you know, Black men who are in that 1%, they marry outside of their race. So they're already feeling some type of way about him not marrying a Black woman. So to share her to this Black bride page, you know, it's just like another, you know, punch to the gut here. What do you guys think? Do you think, you know, it should be taken lightly, or should they have shared Jenny and Jeezy's nuptials?
I'm not familiar with this page.
No
so,
comment.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this page. And to me, it all depends on what their pattern, you know, what the pattern of their practices are. You know what I mean? Like, if they're just showing Black people, or, you know, like, weddings, and they do include interracial, then, like, shut the fuck up, you know. But I will say that, like, when to these pages that, like, try to bank off of, because, like, that's clickbait. You get what I'm saying? Like, you're trying, like, when you have a name like that, Black Bride, right? Like, you knew what you were doing when you typed your name out that way. You knew that you were going to attract a certain demographic. Right. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's kind of like just ask the page or who's the owner of the page. Like, when you do something like that, like, just stick to the theme, you know? Like, I'm for interracial dating. I'm a true believer that, you know, one, you can't determine the, you know, what the heart loves by the race of someone's skin. Now, I do not condone Black men looking outside their race for trophies and completely, like, looking down on Black women. I'm completely against that. But yeah, like, people like, this shit is stupid. It's fucking dumb. Like, worry about yourself. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, Black women, like, I'm keeping it 100, and I know people that ain't gonna like this, but, like, if you was just stop restricting yourself and confining yourself to certain regulations and just, like, go out and look for love, you wouldn't be worried about what the fuck Jeezy got going on. Just saying, just point blank. Mm. Just if you just stop worrying about who's marrying what and da 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 da, like, you wouldn't you. And find love for yourself, you know, like, you wouldn't have the space to even worry about what this Black man is doing, you know? So I get why Black women are, you know, feel that way, but there's a lot of, like, interpersonal, like, because it's heavily layered. And I think that, like, Black women do not understand why it's, like, why this is happening, and until we really look in and start to, like, dismantle some of the conditioning that we've been placed under, it's gonna always be that way. Until you guys are ready to have a real conversation as to why it's common for why this is a common thing for our men to look outward for companionship, and I'm not blaming us, because I understand, like, the conditions and, like, you know, things that we were forced to become. But we have to have those type of conversations. We can't sit here and just be like, Black men, don't you dare. You know, like, who the fuck are you? Like, who the fuck are you?
Right. Yeah, I'm not bothered. I feel like, whatever, they're in love, cool. Get married. But, you know, these Instagram accounts with these niche
titles.
Following. Like,
following.
You know, I mean, I get it. You want to cover, like, a celebrity, you know, nuptial, but I mean, you really could have done without it, but that's whatever.
Just stick to the theme. If you're going to bank and you're going to build your followers off of such content, stick to the theme.
And you can't get upset when your followers get upset that you were posting stuff that they didn't tune in for. They didn't follow you for that.
Right. Now, if you just said Black weddings, then you can incorporate, and you know what I mean? You know, interracial, weddings or whatever, but, like, for you to say Black bride, your followers are right, she's not a Black bride, you know. So, like, you need to listen to your followers. That's just how I feel about that.
All right, so real quick, I want to talk about DMX. You know, I brought it up a little bit earlier because, you know, DMX and Swiss Beatz are, like, BFFs, and I feel like Swiss has been doing whatever he can to try his best to keep DMX on the right path. But, you know, they're saying that he had an overdose, which triggered a heart attack, which has him in grave condition right now. But real quick, I do want to say this. I feel like there are a lot of media outlets who are trying to be the first to report on shit. And because they want to be first, that they're not giving accurate information. I forgot what exact outlet it was, but they said that, you know, he has been taken off life support. He's breathing on his own, which came out to be a fucking lie. That he's still, you know, on life support. He's still, you know, fighting for his life. I just need people to worry about not trying to sensationalize news and actually give a fuck about the person who is not doing well right now. It just looks really bad when you report the wrong information. You get people's hopes up. You think, you know, everything is all good when it's not, and it's not okay. So he's still, you know, on life support. He's still fighting for his life. I'm not sure. Did you guys watch the Rough Riders documentary that aired over the summer?
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so good. So DMX told the story about, when he was 14 years old, someone that he looked up to, you know, introduced him to music, into rap, into, you know, his passion. But this person also introduced him to drugs in a way that he didn't know that this was going to be something that he would spend his life having to deal with. So when he was 14 years old, this person that he trusted, this man, rolled a blunt for him. At this point, DMX did not smoke cigarettes. He didn't smoke weed. He didn't do anything hard. But this man laced DMX's blunt, and which jump-started this whole lifestyle of him being an addict. And, you know, I see a lot of people, you know, talk about DMX and his drug addiction as if it's some sort of joke. They take it lightly. They want to act like it's something that's, like you said, Meek, when we were having a different conversation, that, you know, some people treat addicts as if they had a choice. As we can see, this was not a choice that DMX made for himself and for his life. This was something that he was literally given as a disguise. Like, he was tricked into addiction. I'm just praying so hard, because DMX is an icon. I feel like he's an incredible person who just has to be battling something so fucking traumatic as addiction. It just makes me so sad that he has to deal with something like this, you know, even into, you know, his 40s. Did you guys have anything to really say about what DMX is going through? Do you guys have any opinion, or what do you guys think about what's happening and how the media is presenting this to us?
I've seen slightly, you know, what's been going on the internet, because working, I don't want to look at too much. I just want to say prayers to DMX. Like, all the negative energy, I really don't give a fuck about, because, you know, this man has his own life and has his own things that he's dealing with. So, yeah, I don't have much to say on that. I know Meek Moore has more to say, because she's a really big fan of him. So I'm going to let her go ahead and take over.
Oh, ladies. So I woke up that morning in my bed, and my sister told me. And when it comes to death, I have a little bit of a different outlook. Like, I can settle with death when it's a natural cause, you know, like if it's like a natural disease or something like that. Like, it's still heart-wrenching, but I can settle with that, because like, it's not as though like life was completely like life was snatched from them, like involuntary. You get what I'm trying to say? So, and I'm thinking, I'm like, well, I know that he's old, you know, like older, and he's battled with addiction. Maybe like, you know, body, like his organs or something failed or something like that. Like, I'm thinking something like that, like maybe it came from the addiction. But then when my sister told me that he had an overdose, like, I cried, because that is a for real battle. Like, that is like, into, first off, we've lost too many greats due to addiction. And like, to hear that someone has lost, he didn't die, but to hear that, like, you know what I mean, that like, he's in a vegetative state due to, you know, addiction, due to an overdose, that like, that really broke my heart, you know, needless to say. And so, like, I follow DMX's story. I don't have it all the way down, like, concrete, but do know that he is a victim of child abuse. I know that he had an estranged relationship with his mother and that he was kicked out on the streets and he was like basically homeless, you know, at a very vulnerable time, you know, in his life, which is like, I don't know the actual age, but I just know that he was like homeless at some point in time. So when you tell that story about like his first introduction to crack cocaine, because I don't know what drug he currently overdosed on, but that's like been like one of the main drugs of his addiction is crack cocaine. The reason why it makes that story so gut-wrenching is because you're talking about a child who already has an unstable outlook when it comes to adults. Almost every single adult that's come in this man's life has, you know what I mean, like has done some like ill shit.
Right.
Like he doesn't really have like a trusting relationship with any type of adults. And like there's a reason why when we are brought into this world, we are brought into this world to our parents. Like our parents serve as guardians to help guide us through those, you know, those like very fragile developmental stages in our life. When you do not have a stable development or a stable relationship with the adult in your life where you have trust is a main thing. Trust helps build, you know, confidence and self-esteem and it gives reassurance or just, yeah. So it gives all those things. So when you don't have that, it already like gives a big crack in your foundation. Then to when he talks about this guy, that guy you speak of, this guy was 30 years old. DMX was 14. This guy in many ways served as a father figure to D. Like that's how he looked at this guy. When he told this story, he broke down and started crying because like that's how much love and how much trust he had in this man. And so to him, in his mind, he's like, he's looking back at what happened to him and he's like, at 14, knowing like what that means to be 14, what adult would sit here and knowingly, you know, like give a drug like crack cocaine to a child, child? I don't give a fuck what he's doing at that time. That man is still, I mean, he was still a child. And I can only imagine how that even fucked him up even more, right? And so I have found this part of like something that he said, and I think it speaks volumes. He said, you never know when the things you stored away are going to come out and just fall all over the place. Let me open this door and start dealing with this shit right now before it comes out at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And I just have a meltdown. And I think that like really like speaks volumes because like people look at addiction as though like some people have a choice and like, oh, you know, it just sucks. He's so talented, but he just chooses to use drugs. Use drugs. Actually, addiction is an actual mental, like a mental disease. Like it's an actual disorder. And a lot of things, a lot of times it's triggered or it's offset by trauma. So it's, you know, and people use it as a way of escape. And to be honest, addiction shows up in different forms. People have different vices. Sometimes people escape in food. Sometimes people escape in sex. Sometimes people have all different forms of escaping. And it's a practice of escaping. Right. When you're not able to deal with your emotional baggage, you just escape. And that is what also you have, you know, drugs like crack cocaine and heroin and so on that actually have a chemical compound that actually makes your body, you know, tolerant to it and build, you know, and causes you to become addicted to it. So when you stack that on top of emotional trauma, not able to deal with your emotional trauma, you have a battle with addiction, and it's a serious thing. And the reason why I find this to be so important to talk about and something that we need to really talk about like on a regular basis is Black people, our numbers within mental health are sky high, like sky high. And it's a lot of like the Black experience itself is heavily, you know, layered, but it has a lot to do with the Black experience, discrimination, you know, injustice. Also socioeconomic status, so growing up in poverty, but also like parental practices, like being whooped and getting your ass whooped and us thinking it's okay, right? Like we laughed about you getting, you know, manwich smashing your face, but that's not okay. You know what I mean?
That's not okay.
But as you see, like a part of the Black experience, we laugh Like, and that's the actual reaction to trauma, right? Like, we are conditioned, and we've conditioned ourselves to, like, have these, like, these reflective or, like, these, like, automatic reactions of just shaking it off and just keep moving, right? To the Black experience. And because of all of these different layers, we are more prone to mental disease and mental disorders than any other, ethnic group. So, and a majority of people with mental disorders, mental disease, guess what? They self-medicate before they even go see a doctor. But how often do you hear about Black people going out to seek psychological help? How often? So just think about how many people out there are actually self-medicating themselves right now. And like what that percentage and what that ratio actually looks like. So when we sit here and we laugh or we point or we shake off or we say, or make a joke of it. And granted, I saw a lot of support out there, but I'm speaking more towards people that like that's not realizing that you are DMX. You know what I'm saying? Like
you just have a different vice.
He is you. No, it's not crack cocaine, but like. He is you, right? His story is a bit severe, but guess what? His story is actually common within the Black experience. So it's not, you know what I mean? It's not that like thrown off. Like you are DMX, we are DMX. So it's an actual thing that I think to me it's more of a, like a pan, like a epidemic within our society that we kind of like overlook and overshake. We don't really like check in on our mental state. And you, how many people come home and got to smoke something real quick or drink something real quick or like indulge in food or like have these crazy ass sexual exchanges, you know, because of that endorphins or dopamine or even shit, Instagram fixes or whatever you have. Yeah. Everyone has all different types of vices. And yeah, before you can sit here and judge somebody else's situation, I encourage people to self-reflect because yeah,
absolutely. I just really hope that he's able to pull this through because, man, he is a giant in his, you know, in his field in entertainment. And, you know, there's a lot of people who were, you know, born after 1998. They didn't understand this man's impact. It's more than his impact in music is what this man has battled and shared with us. Like, his music is very personal. This man prays in every, before every album starts, before every concert, before every performance he gives it up to the Most High because he understands that, you know, he is human. He has his flaws and he's working through them. He's doing the best that he can. And I need people to understand that this could be anyone that you know. Like, how people talk about, like, I'm going to compare it to how people talk about rape victims. Like, oh, well, if she wasn't wearing X, Y, and Z, then she wouldn't have ever been touched. It's like you saying stuff like this, not knowing that one in three women have dealt with something like this. You don't know who the next person is that is very close to you who are dealing with addiction, who are dealing with some sort of substance abuse or, you know what I mean? Like, so when people are saying this, you're talking to people who are very close to you. You're not just talking about some, you know, celebrity who you may not have ever met. You're talking about people who are really close to you. You're talking about their mothers, their fathers, their uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters who are dealing with the same exact issue.
But so I just want to add to this. I do think that like what social media allows a lot of people to do is to deflect. And so, yes, you're right. It could be other people, you know, of other people's circle, but it also could be you. You know what I mean? Like I've seen this way too many times where people use this other people's misery to deflect and like pass judgment. And so that way they don't have to address what's going on internally with themselves. So it's like you might have, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I say, like, when you look, instead of like before you pass judgment, just sit and just reflect and like, you know what, dang, like, you know, like, what is his story? That should, to me, would be the first, like, for me is the first
exactly.
question.
Exactly.
Like, what is what his happened? Story? What yeah. And why, like, you've been battling with this since 14 years old. What is his story? And then you might, and then you start seeing like, you know, like his experiences, like, damn, I experienced that too. You know what I'm saying? Like I remember when I was like in the beginning of my journey, I thought I was the only one. It wasn't until I start talking out and start like really like hearing other people's story where I was like, oh my God, like, damn, we have the same experience. Right. And so then that's when I realized like, damn, this actually is way more common than what I believed it to be, you know?
Right. I just don't want, I don't want it to be us losing a legend for people to understand, like, how serious this is.
Because sometimes it does.
And usually that it happens that way in order for people to understand.
Because, you know, I understand, like, crack was an 80s and 90s epidemic. But now it's resurfaced in different forms. Like, we have a lot of kids who are addicted to prescription pills and who are dying because of this, who are overdosing on stuff like this. Like, you know, 80s crack is now 90s Percocet.
Oxys and Oxycontin. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And heroin and things like that. So I just need people to understand, like,
I also want to state that while you were talking about his albums, that, like, even the thing that's the reason why I love, you know, he's a very theatrical man, and y'all know I love the extras, you know, i.e. I love Ronald Isley, I love me some Toni Braxton. So I love the ones that allow their art to just go wherever, like, they don't limit how they express their art. But also, like, he was so raw, to the point where it was scary, right? Because, like, when, you know, like, when he came out, like, I can't really think of another artist that was that. When I say raw, this man was barking on the dang track, right? Like, I can't think of another artist. And granted, this is off the dome, so it might pop up to me later. But, like he was just, when I say leave it on the track, he left everything on the track. And then also, when you listen to his albums, you can hear, it's like an actual audio of the battle that's going on internally. Because, like you said, he speaks about, he prays in the beginning and at the end of every album. But then he also goes into these demonic and, like, speaking to a demon and, like, all this other stuff that he, like, dives into. So you can hear this ongoing, like, duality within D, right? So it's like, he was like a true, he was, and I need to stop fucking doing that, but, like, he is a true artist, and, like, how he allowed his art to express, like, his current state and what he was experiencing.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. All right, y'all, we're going to move on to our red light special. If you guys have a question for the ladies of the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast, shoot us a DM at Crazy Sexy Cool Pod on Twitter or Instagram, or shoot us an email at crazysexycoolpod@gmail.com, and we just may answer your question on our show. So Daniel from New Jersey, he asked, my girlfriend is upset with me because I let my best friend of 15 years borrow some money. Am I wrong for trying to help my friend in a financial situation? I didn't let her know beforehand. She found out later. Am I wrong for this? Yes or no? I was going to bring this up while we were talking about, I guess, like, cheating respectfully, because some people, there are some women who feel like financial support is a no-go. That's like you don't give women money unless
you don't give women money. Do you hear what that sounds like? I cut you off.
No, do your thing.
Carl, I'll say, first and foremost, like, ain't no, like, one account between us. I got my shit, you got your shit, and then if we decide to, like, you know, maybe put in on the house or whatever, maybe we can have, like, another account for that. But I'm always have my own money. I could do what the fuck I want to do with my money. You know what I'm saying? Like, now, if it starts to interrupt a goal that we've come together to, like, put in on, then we can deliberate on that. But, like, if my friends come to me, and also I'm pretty, like, financially conscious, I guess you can say. So, and I make the decision to, like, help my friend out, that's exactly what I did. But, like, this whole notion of giving a woman money, like, you sound insecure as shit. Like, for real. Like, you sound real insecure. So, like, yeah, that's just my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I totally agree with me. I got my own money, you got your own money. If my friend needs some financial help, that's exactly what I do.
Right. But don't be giving out money and then come ask me to borrow $20. Because then that's a whole different type of conversation, right? Like, that's a completely different, like, now you're being financially irresponsible and we can't have that. But, like, first off, if I'm rocking with you, you got to show some type of financial literacy and responsibility anywho. So you can't just be out here just recklessly out here spending anyway.
I mean, is the question, does he need
Here's my thing.
Do they always communicate something? Where is I don't understand this.
That's too much communicating for me. And I'm a big
But that's
this whole thing.
I'm a bit torn because I understand, like, hey, you know, I'm going to help my friend out. It could be like a huge amount of money. We don't know what the deal is with this. But at the same time, sometimes you don't want to put your friend's business out there. Now, this sounds like maybe your girl may have like an issue with this friend of yours. Maybe she's like pretty and she might feel insecure about it.
But also, it's all about the access, like the fact of the access that the friend has with the boyfriend. So whether she's pretty or whatever, but it's the fact that she has this type of access to you, that's control. That's to me, and that's low. That's insecurity to me. Like, when you over here trying to delegate that type of shit and you worried about that type, to me, that's insecurity. Like you said, if you over here like, oh, I gave my friend money to put down on the house, yeah, we got to talk about that. Nigga, we ain't got our own house. So how the hell you doing some shit like that? Yeah, no, that's something we got to talk about. Yeah, you doing too much. But if it's like, shit, 200, you know, $500, I'm like, if you got it like that, you got it like that. But don't come over here and ask me. Don't come over here. Go ask your, make sure your friend pay you back type of situation. If you got it like that, you got it to lend out like that, baby, you go ahead and do that. But you better make sure you got lunch money when you take your ass to work on Monday. That's all I gotta say.
Make sure you get that lunch money.
I'm big on communication, but, you know, sometimes you don't want to put your friend's business out there. Everyone doesn't need to know everything that's going on in your friend's personal life. They don't want you to share their downs with, like, I mean, it could have been some money for, like, a bill or something, or you behind, you need to get your car about to be repoed or some shit, and you just need something real quick to help you out. Like, you don't want everybody to be all up in your personal business. So, good for you for being a good friend, but I think from here on out, you need to have a conversation with your lady about like what's acceptable and what's not, because you might have really
could tell who has like the relationship experience out of the group of us, because you could tell that you've been in a couple of relationships, because I'm not even thinking about the whole friend aspect, because I just have this like thought that like couples pillow talk anyway. Like, might not go into deep discussion about every friend, but they sit in pillow talk discussions about their friends all the time. Me, I feel like it's a means of control, and I don't like it when I feel like someone is trying to, like, control and want me to check in with every single thing. So I'm like, fuck no. Like,
mm-hmm. I had a relationship like that, and it literally turned me off. Now I'm so... Don't ask me no questions, personal questions about my friends, because I'm not going to ask you about yours.
All right. So, Daniel, I hope you figure this out with your lady. I guess now you're realizing what is a no for her. So, from here on out, figure that shit out. Communicate with her. Let her know.
Yeah, but also, Daniel, keep track of that, because the next time she want to give her mama money or her sister money or whatever, you make sure she follow protocol, because women are good for that shit.
All right, so we're going to wrap up today's
episode.
All
these damn Daniels.
Daniel, right. We've had like a few Daniels right in. Daniel's a really popular name. So, Meek or Elizabeth, do you guys have a quote?
Meek, you know.
We ain't got no quote, bitch. So, shout out to everyone who's watching us on YouTube. make sure you subscribe, comment, like, rate us on Apple Podcasts. Please let people know how much you love us. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Crazy Sexy Cool Pod. Chat with us. We chat back sometimes.
Subscribe to my OnlyFans, y'all.
She ain't got no goddamn OnlyFans.
She's showing feet.
It's $40 a month to join.
$40. All right, we'll have you guys next week, and we out.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids. see what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.